You are listening to the Trinity Presbyterian Church podcast from Petaluma, California. Here is this week's adult Sunday school class.
Last week we talked about the Sabbath, and of course Christians have particularly utilized the language of the Lord's Day to refer to our day that we gather in honor of the Sabbath on the Lord's Day. And of course, who remembers why we call it the Lord's Day? Because he's risen on that day, right? So it's a reminder, you know, when we talk about the resurrection of Christ, we have this, you know, every Sunday, it's an emphasis on the risen Lord Jesus, on the Lord's Day. So let us open in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the Lord's Day. We thank you for this day of resurrection, this day of gladness, this day to rejoice in victory over death, victory over sin, victory over Satan, a victory over the world, victory over our sinful flesh. Lord, we have died in Christ as Christians, and we've risen in Christ as Christians. And so we proclaim that hope again today. And we ask as we dig back into this booklet and thinking about worship, we pray, Lord, that it will help prepare us even for our worship service later this morning. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we have our little booklet here. There's a whole bunch up in the front. Does anyone need a booklet today? Anyone need a booklet? There we go.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else? Everyone's got one? All right, always keep a bunch up here so you can, if you ever forget yours, just grab one. So we left off on page 10. That's right, 10. Good job. Page 10, and I read us through really the first half, just up to the bullet points. And you know, this was just a reminder what we talked about. We talked really about the fourth commandment and the idea of having Christians observing that on the Lord's Day every week. And, you know, quoted, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And Zoe, what did we say holy meant?
Set apart.
That's right. Is your name Zoe?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Well, you got the right answer, Elena. Good job. Set apart, special, distinct, different. Rest of the week, we do our normal stuff. We come here to worship our great God. And so the idea of these bullet points that we're going to look at now on page 10 are, you notice they say plan ahead, comma, and they talk about different ways that we can plan ahead for what it is that we do here when we gather as the Church of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to go ahead and read the bullet points, and then we're going to reflect on them a little bit, and then we'll move into chapter 5, which is part 2 of planning for work, preparing for worship. So just make sure we understand what we're talking about. Preparing for worship means that what we do here is so exciting that we spend some time preparing for it, planning ahead for it. And if you think of sort of the rhythm of worship, a 1 in 7 idea, there's this idea that it's like, we use the word holiday. Essentially, we have a weekly holiday. And, you know, today being Easter, you probably did some plans. I'm getting together with family. We're going to do this. You know, you do some planning, preparing. Right? Well, we got this weekly rhythm that we prepare and plan ahead for our worship. So with that, I'm going to read us the bullet points. Again, they're on page 10, halfway down. Plan ahead so that you can be present for all the church meetings of that day, including evening worship. Plan ahead so you can eat simple meals that do not take too much time and effort for those who prepare and serve them. Plan ahead so you can get some bodily rest on this day that was made for our physical and spiritual rest. Plan ahead so you can do some works of mercy for others on the day that is to be kept free of our regular weekly work. Plan ahead so you can have some time to nourish your own soul by private Bible and devotional reading and by prayer. Plan ahead so you can have some time to reinforce your children's Bible and catechism lessons. And so these are, you know, some different, very practical tips on things that you can do and things to be thinking about. And I thought what we could do is think about those, I guess there's six bullet point items, by asking the question, number two, reflection question, what do you need to change today so you can better keep the Sabbath day holy? So this is fair game for the six bullet points, as well as anything else that sort of comes to your mind as we're talking here today. What are some things that you can be working on to prepare better for what we're going to do on Sundays? You know, what are some things that you can do? And again, use these bullet points to help you. You know, maybe bullet point two you really felt convicted by, and so comment on that. What are some things that you can do personally to prepare and plan ahead for worship? Ray?
Well, I'm looking at what it says on the next, the last plan ahead. So you can have some time to nourish your own soul by private Bible and devotional reading and prayer. And I would say that it would be better to do it on Saturday evening, because it's like the day of preparation, you know, to get ready to do this, the necessary things to honor that day that's coming up. So the idea of the day of preparation is a Saturday, in a sense, for me to get to, I don't always do it, but that's the idea.
Yeah, you know, in the next little section on chapter 5, we'll talk about some aspects of when you show up to worship, some things you might do even when you show up for worship to prepare, even when you're there, before the service starts. But to Renee's point, I email out the bulletin ahead of time for a reason, and that's an opportunity for you to begin to prepare even on a Saturday, right? So there could be that looking ahead idea as well. Good. What are some other ways that we can prepare, plan ahead? Jim?
Or Jim?
Jeff! he's a little far away.
Make sure I get into bed early on Saturday night.
There you go. There's a physical component, getting to bed early. You know, if you go to bed too late, you're going to wake up tired, and you're going to be more likely to fall asleep in the service. So. We do try to help by having lots of coffee available, but it's not the same as sleep. So, what else?
Charles, I go back to my military days. Mm. You can't prepare for a mission. You got to prepare for a mission. So, really, the whole week, you need to look in advance those things that you know is going to come up, and prioritize to ensure that on Sunday you're where you need to be. So prioritizing your week, yeah. Look at everything, pray about making sure that things, hopefully, because nothing ever goes exactly how you look for it to happen, so that nothing can maybe, you know, try to interfere. Satan's out there trying to throw some roadblocks here and there, so you got to be careful.
That's right, yeah. And I think, you know, as an example, if you're you run your own business, right? A lot of times it's hard to just turn off business on Sunday, right? But it's a lot easier if you've planned ahead, right? If you've said, what do I need to get done? What do I need to address so that today I can actually have a day off? And so, yeah, there's a lot of that, whether you're out of business or not, that's true. But certainly room for planning ahead all week long. Yeah, Dean?
Don't know if this is planning, but I like to pray for the different pastors, including you,
thank you.
on my little prayer walk that I take. I've met a few through the years, and I pray for each one by name and ask that God would anoint them to really have the living word of the Lord and give us ears to hear. And I try to pray for churches around the world. As you know well, there's so much terrible persecution around the world, and I figure they're all gathering, and somebody could burst right through that door these days. And so I try to do that. I'm not sure that's preparation for a specific service, but it's very important to pray for the leaders.
Yeah, prayer is that one of the ones, and it's not specifically called out here. It's a big one, right? Prayer's referenced here. You know, you need to be praying, right? Pray for our service. Pray for your pastor. Thank you. Pray for I appreciate the reference to the other brothers and sisters. Although whenever I think about that, I think of in that First Peter passage where the devil's prowling around,
yeah.
And it said, stand firm in faith, knowing that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. And so, yeah, we can help our brothers prepare throughout the world, even by praying for them, and hopefully they're praying for us, too. So, Gene.
Well, thinking back, years and years and years ago, I was raised with being prepared for the Sabbath by everybody took their bath on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
You always laid your clothes out so that they were there to get, you didn't have to look to see what you were, where they were. You made sure that the children were all prepared by usually trying to read a Bible story that you knew that they were going to be faced with on Sunday morning. And now you're sharing the bulletin is so helpful, because on Saturday night, when I sit down to relax, I go through the bulletin and I read all the hymns as if they were poems, and try and see what that's saying, because I know you're having that hymn sung for a special reason. So I just do that. And then, of course, I pray that I'll wake up in time.
Amen. Amen. A lot of real practical things to do to get ready for worship. As you're talking, I'm thinking of sort of the change of what may have ways you people would have prepared for worship 50 years ago versus today. I think of some of our less tech-savvy people who would prepare for worship pandemic times by having their loved ones who are tech-savvy get their Zoom set up for them ahead of time. You know, there's a lot of ways that people have had to, you know, adapt to our new environment. And, you know, maybe now it's, well, I know for you driving from Vallejo, you had to plan ahead to, when's the race going to be on Highway 37 that destroys 37? You know, you've got all these things nowadays in our new world you have to think about and plan ahead for. So a lot of good stuff to be planning ahead for. Any other thoughts on planning ahead? Let me see if I look through our bullet point list. Anything else to point out? On that first bullet point, of course, we don't currently have an evening worship service. A lot of Reformed churches do have evening worship services. But, you know, we do have our once a month on the first Sunday of the month. We've got our extended time with a little fellowship meal. And after that, hymn sing and outreach prayer. So that's something to, you know, plan ahead and keep on the radar of the calendar. You know, the second bullet point, you know, it's simple meals. I know that so often big meals are a lot of places on Sundays, but, you know, thinking about how to make life easy for everyone in the house. Let's see, the third bullet point. You know, physical rest is a good thing, too. You know, and we go, and I think that's an important reminder. For the fourth bullet point, the works of mercy. Remember, Jesus spent a lot of time doing works of mercy on the Sabbath, and so he said that's a good thing to do. And it's a reminder that the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so that's an important aspect as well. That fifth bullet point. Sixth bullet point. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Fifth bullet point. The private Bible and devotional reading. And one of the things that we talk about, our catechism talks about the Sabbath as a day of public and private worship. And, you know, that private worship idea. You talk to a lot of folks and you ask, how's your devotional going? Your private times of devotion. And most commonly I hear from Christians, I'm just so busy. Just so busy. It's hard to get those quiet times in. Well, start on Sunday is what I tell people. You know, this day is supposed to be set aside. So arrange it so you're not busy on Sunday. Start there, you know, and see if you can, you know, work from there. Obviously, there's a great value in a daily devotion. We see that throughout Scripture as well. But start on Sundays and build from there. And then this last bullet point, reinforce your children's Bible and catechism lessons. So you can think of public and private components to this too, right? You learn on the way home. What'd you guys, you know, ask the kids what they learn in Sunday school class, you know? Ask them what they learn in Sunday school class. And then, you know, what'd you learn in the sermon? You know, talk about what you learned in the sermon. And then, you know, that's a good time for, you know, I know in a lot of Reformed history, a heritage, that's a time Sunday afternoons so when the kids are working some of their catechism more in depth. So opportunity for some good times like that. So hopefully these are some helpful little bullet points. Let's go ahead now and turn to page 11 here. And this is part two for preparing for worship. And I'm going to read the opening paragraphs. I'm going to stop when we get to the bullet points. I'm going to talk about the first part first here. It says there, be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46, verse 10. After 6 days in overdrive, it is difficult to slow down, change gears, and get our souls to the proper speed for the worship of God. Even with the best preparation for the Sabbath day, the world and its concerns stick to us as we gather on Sunday. Corporate worship of the eternal God is the most important activity of our week, but we come to it caught up with the trivial things of our passing lives and a passing age. Our remaining indwelling sin, together with the power of a very active devil, see Mark 4:15, works powerfully, and we find it hard to turn our attention to the surpassing greatness and goodness of the everlasting God. Use the minutes prior to worship to be still and prepare to give God praise that comes from an undivided heart. Here are some practical suggestions. So I will talk about the practical suggestions in a moment, but I wanted to spend a little bit on the first part here. So he begins with that Psalm 46 reference there, be still and know that I am God. And you'll notice he's using that as a way to be still before going into worship. I did want to comment on that verse because I've heard be still and know that I'm God used in a wrong way by too many people. I've heard from some folks who are more like wanting to take Eastern meditation practices and sort of bring them into Christianity and have quoted that as proof for sort of being still from a... Eastern meditation is different than biblical meditation. Eastern meditation, you try to get your mind void. And Christian meditation is you're actually looking at the Psalms. You're filling your mind with God's truth, and you're thinking about God's truth, and you're looking at God's truth in your mind at every different angle, and how does this relate to me? And it's an active process by the Spirit of God working in your heart with the Word to try to understand more about who He is and what He has for you. And it's very different. And so I don't think that's what Psalm 46:10 is trying to say. I'm sorry, Psalm 46:10 actually is not about meditation, either the biblical meditation or the non-biblical Eastern meditation. If you look at Psalm 46, what's the context? Well, this is actually the psalm that Martin Luther used to write, sort of inspire writing, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, if you look at Psalm 46, what it's dealing with, it's talking about how out there in the world there's these enemies. And Martin Luther really brought out Satan as an enemy in his song there. But there's all these enemies, and they're out to get us. They're out to get us. They're out to get us. Oh no, oh no. Be still and know that I am God. That's what Psalm 46:10 is about. It's about in the face of so much opposition that could get you to panic. It's okay. God is in control. God is with you. And if God is with you, who can be against you? So I do think that understood rightly, that's a helpful context coming into worship, right? We can take those anxieties of the world and all the more lay them down because we're coming in to have this wonderful experience in the worship of our great God. So I do think it's helpful in that regard. But I don't know if it'd be the first passage I would choose if I wanted to think about a biblical command that we have to prepare for worship. Let me give a few additional scriptures I think that are going to help remind us of. It's probably common sense that there's preparation involved. I'll just look at a few different ones. Luke 22, verse 8.
Luke 22, verse 8.
Good job, Elaine. I got to remember to look up Luke 22, verse 8.
Luke.
So, Zoe, you want to read Luke 22, verse 8?
So Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat."
So what did they have to do in order to have Passover? They had to prepare it, you know? Passover is not going to get itself ready. Obviously, Passover is a religious act of worship, right? Passover is a religious part of our religious worship under the Old Covenant. Matthew 5, go to Matthew 5. Mateo, Cinco, Matthew 5, 23 through 24. Diego, can you read that for us? Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Matthew 5.
Yes. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and they remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled with your brother and then come and offer your gift.
So here's the idea: you're bringing an offering in worship. And there's this idea that if you have this unresolved conflict with brethren, really you should take care of that first, right? You can't do that without some reflection and preparation ahead of time. And the way it paints it, of course, you might think of as you're just about to walk and put the offering there on the plate, oh no, but of course, surely what's even better is that you think about that ahead of time, right? And that's why, like, when we have communion, we announce it the week before, because I think that's very fitting and appropriate. If you're going to come take communion, but you've got unresolved conflict with other brethren in the church, you should get that resolved this week, right? Spend some time preparing. Another one, 1 Peter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Dean, why don't you read that for us?
You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding manner as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered.
So your prayers will not be hindered. Think about, well, prayer is also an act of worship, right? There could be ways that your prayers are hindered. And this is a specific example, but I think there's certainly a broader example that you can pull out of this, sort of a broader application, that you can live in sinful ways that are going to in some way or another hinder your worship. Right? You've been living all week long and just sort of living in your sin and just sort of ignoring God, and then you're going to just show up on Sunday and act like nothing's wrong? You're just going to show up on Sunday after you've been sort of sitting it up all week, and now I'm going to flip a switch and now I'm going to be a good godly Christian? You're going to feel like a hypocrite. And it's going to hinder your prayers even internally, right? Let alone in terms of whatever fatherly chastening that might come from that. And so, you know, part of preparing for worship is examining your life. Even the sort of thing that we talk about when you do the Lord's Supper really is sort of a regular weekly rhythm coming into worship, right? Have I been living my life as I'm called to, one of faith and repentance? And if not, as I approach coming to church on Sunday, what are those things that I can repent of ahead of time and sort of look to to, by the grace of God, you know, acknowledge before the Lord and ask Him to be at work and be able to come into worship, not feeling like I've just sort of gone from living like a non-Christian to suddenly pretending I'm living like a Christian all week long. I think it's a part of that preparation. Is that question on that one? That one would be a little more fuzzy for folks. All right. Next one here. Psalm 145:5. Chris, would you read that for us?
On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on the wonders of on your wondrous works, I will meditate.
So this one is talking about Christian meditation. How does that relate to preparation? Renee?
You're reading God's word.
Yeah.
It's just not paper and ink.
Yeah.
It's God speaking to you to meditate.
That's right.
On who He is.
So two things I might specifically then run with that idea. In general, the more you are in the week thinking of the Lord and the things of the Lord, the more you're going to, quote, get out of our Sunday service. And specifically, if you know that the sermon is going to be on 1 Corinthians 15 or Genesis 4, if you go and dig into that passage ahead of time and begin to meditate upon it, I am certain you will benefit from the sermon more. Right? You might even be able to correct your pastor if he said something off. Right? You will benefit more because you're already beginning to ask questions about the passage. You know, when I do my study on the passage, you know, I read through it, obviously, at first, and immediately questions start coming up. Well, what did he mean by that? What's that point dealing with? How does that relate to what we talked about two chapters ago? You begin to get questions. And so as you begin to think about those things, you will be more helpful than when the pastor comes and explains the passage and talks about it. The more preparation you can do.
Reminds me of Psalm 1.
That's right. That's right. Psalm 1 is are you going to be rooted in God's word, or are you going to be the chaff that's blown about, right?
In Joshua also, what did he say in chapter, I think, 1:8? Meditate on his word day and night.
Yeah, that will help you prepare. That's right. You could also, just as another couple, we won't turn there, but just a couple other points of reference. Think of like in 1 Corinthians, there's a lot about 1 Corinthians talking about the things they were doing wrong in their worship and the importance for orderly worship. That means that the Corinthian church needed to spend some time to think about how to prepare their worship properly. And so, of course, we can think of that as applications as well to the elders, right? They need to plan and prepare. How do we get to orderly worship the Lord? The pastoral epistles. What are the pastoral epistles? Who knows what the pastoral epistles are? There's three pastoral epistles. What are the three pastoral epistles?
First and Second Timothy and Titus.
That's right. And why are they called the pastoral epistles?
Written to the pastor.
That's right. So this is Paul, the apostle, writing to Pastor Timothy and Pastor Titus, right? So he's instructing pastors how to go about doing what they're supposed to be doing. And there's a lot of that instruction, not only about worship, but also about their preaching and how they need to be really putting their care and attention into preaching and in holding to sound doctrine. And so there's a call for the pastors to spend their time to prepare for worship properly as well. So what I wanted to get out here is we can think of a number of different verses that would speak to the notion of preparing for what we do on Lord's Day. And you know, Renee's reference to the day of preparation, that's another one I could have brought out as well. You know, that this idea that's even among the Jews of the Old Covenant, had, they would call Friday the day of preparation to prepare for Saturday. You know, so we have a preparing idea. So with that, let's go and look at the bullet points now on this page 11. I'm going to read and then talk each one here. So we'll start with the first one here. So again, these are some practical suggestions on how to prepare for worship. So the first one, discipline yourself to be quiet before worship. There will be ample time to speak with others after the service is concluded. What's that talking about? Yeah, it specifically has in mind when you come in. Now, we have a little bit of a challenge here. We've had it also at the old building, too. You know, some churches have, you walk in, and maybe depending where you're from, you call a lobby or a foyer, or if you're Dutch, you call it a narthex, right? You know, and then you could go from there through the doors into worship, right? And so on architectural setups like that, it's very easy to be able to have outside in the foyer, the lobby, you know, that's where you greet, hey, hi, but you go through those doors and now it's quiet before service, and you have an opportunity to reflect and begin to pray and meditate and prepare yourself. Given our old place and here, we don't have that set up. So what we've tried to do to facilitate this idea is, my son back there knows when to hit the play button. We put that little prelude music. And the prelude, it's listed in the bulletin. When you hear the prelude music, that's a way to encourage people to find your seat and begin to do some of this preparation 4 or 5 minutes before service. So that's how we've tried to implement this notion in our kind of setup here. So yeah, you come in, greet folks, but then when you hear that music, that's your cue. Let's begin to quiet down, calm ourselves for God's worship. Because greeting is important as well, right? I mean, literally, it's a biblical command. Think of all the different passages that say, greet one another, greet one another, greet one another. You know, there are a lot of passages that call us to greet. So that's a biblical concept too, which is why at the end of our service, you'll note we do our announcements, and I then say, now please greet one another in the name of Christ and join together for a time of fellowship. That's actually a very intentional statement. I actually think that's part of Lord's Day, is that we are greeting each other. And different churches have done it in different capacities, but I think there's an important notion of different contexts. You know, some actually have it during the service, you know, turn and greet your neighbor. You know, we do it at the end. I think it makes more sense before or after than the actual formal part of it. But some have done it as part of the formal part as well. But sorry, I'm getting off to greetings. I'm talking here, though, about preparing for worship. And when that prelude starts, that's when we're trying to calm our hearts and sit in and begin to think about what we're about to do. So okay, let's look at the next bullet point here. Go over the items in the order of worship listed in your bulletin. Look up the hymns and scripture passages that will be used, pray over them, and ask God to use those words powerfully in your own life and in the lives of others as you worship. Now, again, Renee pointed it out, we talked about it, I emailed this out ahead of time, so you don't have to wait until the prelude music starts and try to rush and do that all in 4 minutes. Because then you could just maybe be all the more unsettled as well. But let's say you didn't do that ahead of time. The prelude starts. Certainly, that's a time to begin to look at it. And you're not going to probably, in that 4 minutes, open up every single passage and every single hymn and reflect. You're probably not going to do that then. But, you know, you could begin to, a couple things you could do, right? You could at least look up the sermon passage, right? Begin to think that way. Or you could look at the title of the sermon and the titles of the songs, and look at what passages and see if you know where those passages are. You could begin to say, is there a theme? Is there a theme that I start to see here? Right? I mean, even just from the title today, what do you think today's theme is going to be? The resurrection from the dead, right? That should clue you in on something. Last week, I think it was on common grace. And you might not know what common grace is, and you can at least begin to think, what do the words mean? On common grace, I've never heard of that before. Well, grace, I know what grace is. Okay, common. Okay, Madeline.
I'm not too thrilled with the internet.
Okay.
But I appreciate getting the service online.
Oh, good. Getting the bulletin? Yeah. Oh, good. Good. Well, praise the Lord. Even if you're not tech savvy, it's an opportunity there. So, good. Good. So, by the way, it does mention pray, right? So you can sit down, and in that prelude, begin to pray. Dean pointed this out, right? Pray for your pastor. Pray against distractions. And I Dean also pointed out, like, literally the threats that exist out there today. Pray for our safety, you know? You never know when someone could barge through. Renee's saying, pray that you'll remember to turn off your cell phone. Is that what you're... No, that's actually a very good point. The idea of... one of the reflection questions are things that you might do that distract others. And... not silencing your cell phone could also be one of those. It'll distract yourself and distract others. And it's a little easy setting on an Android. Probably Apple, it's really hard to do. But on Android, just do not. Apples are easy too. Well, there we go. There we go. Now, I guess you're right. On most Apple devices, it's like the toaster. You just push the handle down. Yeah. Sorry. I gave myself in trouble here. Gene.
I just remember. When you're talking about being quiet and doing this, years ago we had a blind member come from San Francisco who had a talking watch.
Oh, wow.
And we had an elder that would stand by the door and call, as he came in, he'd say, turn your watch off.
Yes, wow. That's quite a interesting technology.
But he couldn't tell him. Make the dog be quiet, because he had a seeing eye dog.
Oh, wow. Wow. Next item here. Show your children the hymns that you will be singing. Quietly explain the items of worship and what they mean. Pray with your children for God's blessing on the service. You know, what stands out to me here on this is a reminder, if you're a parent with children, you're training your kids to be worshipers, right? They don't just born out of, you know, day one know what it means to worship God, right? You're training them to be worshipers. And you can, how do I say it? You will train them one way or another. You might train them not to be worshipers by not doing the kinds of things that we're reading about here. You by setting a bad example, right? If they have seen you stay up too late at night on Saturday night, right? Clipping the wings of the Sabbath, as I've heard you use the language before. Then guess what pattern you've conveyed to them, right? You will either set a pattern for them that they will hopefully follow, right? Or you will the opposite. So this is something to be thinking about is the pattern that we're setting. And then the last bullet point here, pray that the Holy Spirit would come and show his transforming power during the time of worship. Particularly pray for his work in the one who will be leading worship and preaching the word. So, of course, we should rightly understand, if God is not with us in our worship, then our worship's in vain, right? I mean, our worship's in vain if God is not with us. And so, that's what we're ultimately looking for and praying for and seeking. God be with us. God be with us. And I think it's perfectly a good reminder to pray the promises of God. I think of the book of Samuel, when David receives from God the Davidic covenant promise. Wonderful miracle or revelation. God tells David, David, I'm going to build a house for you. And one of your offspring is going to be on the throne forever and have a kingdom that's everlasting. And oftentimes we stop there, but you go to the very next section in your Bible, David prays about it. And he basically prays for all the things that God just promised him. And that's what we do. We pray. God says he'll be with us, so we pray, Lord, be with us during this service. And we can have faith all the more. And I like how David actually says, I'm so bold to pray for this, God, because you just promised it. And we can be bold to pray, Lord, be with us as we worship, because you told us you'll be with us as we worship. And so we pray for that. By the way, part of that praying, I'm going to use Dean's example here, pray for your pastor who's going to be preaching. I just spoke at the Victory Christian Academy Chapel this week, and I read the James passage about how teachers are going to be held to higher account. So please, pray for me. Right? That's a serious thing. Reflection question one says, what distractions before worship make it difficult to be well prepared to give God glory in corporate worship? What distractions? Going to the bathroom? Yeah. Especially during the service? You know? Get it out ahead of time. If you gotta go, please do go during the service, but if you can plan ahead, right? What's that?
It's disrespectful.
Absolutely. Yeah, go ahead of time. You know, whatever, you know, arrangements you need to do, getting up and down during the service. Again, if it's an emergency, so be it. But if you can do it ahead of time, it's better for you, it's better for others. What other ones? You already sort of dovetailed into number three. How might you be hindering others from being still before worship? So you can think of your actions can not only affect you, but affect others too. So what other distractions for yourself or for others? I'm kind of doing one and three together then right here.
So Chris, just being cognizant that you can, you know, maybe say your howdy do's after, if it's getting real close, you know, you look over and it's like 6 minutes too, and it's like, I want to chat with him, and they're like, you know, it'd be hard to like pull away in 30 seconds, so I'll leave it until then.
Yeah, you know, if there's stuff you wanted to talk with someone about, and you know that prelude music is going to hit any moment, probably don't go into the real deep question, you know? You know, there's using some wisdom on that, yeah. I'll probably preach in the choir because you're all here, but getting late to church, right? That's a distraction for the rest of us, you know? And if we're going to really heed what this is saying, getting to church on time is not getting here at 11 a.m. It's getting here at least when that prelude starts, right? So that you can be in your seat and begin to prepare for worship, which is just 4 minutes or so before. You know, we're talking 10:55. You know, and you're doing good. What other distractions? And then it says, how can the time, number two, how can the time before the service best be used to make the worship time most profitable for everyone? That's stuff we've been talking about through this whole time, but that's something to continue to reflect on. You know, you personally, what are some things you can do to improve on preparing for worship? So hopefully this is helpful to think about preparing for, you know, worship. And then next time, if you notice on page 12, we're talking about the order of worship. The idea of a liturgy. What do we do? Why do we do it? And we'll talk about, you know, what freedom do we have within it, but what area are we constrained, and what does that, you know, what we should be thinking about liturgy. It is important. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do prepare now for worship. We thank you for this time to think about these things, and we pray help us to indeed grow in being ready to worship you, and therefore get all the more out of our worship. Lord, and not only what we get out of it, Lord, but all that we're prepared to, in singleness of heart and mind, give you the glory and the honor and the praise that you alone deserve. In Jesus' name.